Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us now is Janet Solomon. She's the founder of Oceans Not Oil, and she's going to be updating us on the Shell seismic survey controversy that's currently doing the rounds. Janet, good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Chad. Thank you for having me and thanks for the opportunity.
Janet, it's been of grave concern the last couple of months leading up to these seismic surveys. And we were somewhat relieved reading in the media that there were going to be court challenges to this. The first court challenge, unfortunately, wasn't successful for the applicant, and it's given Shell the go-ahead. Can you update us on what the government's response to this whole seismic survey is, and are we actually continuing with this, or are there other court cases that are going to be hearing this matter?
Sure. Government's response to this has been disappointing, to say the least. Yeah, so we have a petition that Oceans Not Oil has this petition that has garnered 430,000 signatures, which is a significant part of our population. And Mantashe, has Minister of Minerals, has responded by saying activists are very specific colonial and apartheid. We're working in this old regime of apartheid and coloniality, which is quite interesting because the second urgent interdict that has been placed, and that's been placed by Sustaining the Wild Coast together with the Dwese Kwebe Communal Properties Association, three fishermen from the area, Amadiba traditional leader and healer, and All Rise attorneys, are all have applied for this interdict, which we'll be hearing at 9:30 on Friday. It's interesting that Sinagugu Zukulu, who was speaking on behalf of Sustaining the Wild Coast, had this to say earlier on in the week. He said, "Shell and Mantashe are behaving like the colonial and apartheid powers that come before them, that came before them, by not listening to the indigenous communities of the Wild Coast, who have lived in harmony with the ocean for centuries and rely on it for their physical and spiritual well-being." And I think it shows a complete lack of imagination that Mantashe threw that back at not only Sinagugu, but all of the rest of us who are objecting to this on many, many grounds. There are the constitutional grounds of this are dodgy, that the right of this application was secured in 2013, where it didn't undergo the rigor of environmental assessment that it would have done now. Just simple things like the mitigatory measures that they are suggesting have been hugely contested globally by science, who have said that it has little scientific basis and questionable efficacy. There have been major new science and developments, from escalating climate change, new science on emissions. We have new marine protected areas in the area, which are definitely going to be affected. We have small-scale fishers up and down the coast up in arms about this, because it could affect their harvesting, because fish are going to move away from this as fast as they possibly can. Obviously, tourism will be affected because whales won't be as evident. Marine life is definitely going to be affected. There's a lot of science around that. And, of course, there's the failure to consider alternatives. You know, we have sun and wave action, and we have wind. You know, the money that is used for developing this, and believe me, if anything is found, if any resources are found, and those land on South African shores, it's the South African taxpayer who will pay the millions and millions of dollars for developing that goes into reconnaissance and seismic surveys. So, yeah, at the end of the day, the South African citizen is going to end up paying for this in so very, very many ways.
What's heartbreaking for me was that message you read out by one of the applicants, and he spoke about how the rights of the indigenous people are ignored. And we've seen this time and time again, not just in South Africa, but throughout the world, where First Nations and indigenous people are treated as second-class citizens on the very land they've occupied for centuries. Sometimes they've been there for more than just centuries. They were established there as a people maybe thousands of years ago. We're seeing in Canada where there's now reparations being made to the Indigenous First Nations people of Canada. But a lot of it is too little too late. Here, right now, in South Africa, where we've just come out of a apartheid past, prior to that a colonial past, we can redress these issues almost immediately by giving a voice and conversely giving an ear to those voices of the Indigenous and First Nations people. And it seems that they are continuously ignored. We've even had people camping at the Union Building in Pretoria, Indigenous people, to try show the world their plight. Why is it, do you think, that in this day and age, our First Nation and Indigenous peoples are still treated as second-class citizens?
It's inconvenient to capitalism. Indigenous heritage and tangible and intangible heritage is inconvenient for capitalism because it shows up capitalism's greed. Where people have been living next to the coast for thousands of years, they've been living sustainably, obviously. And you have a situation where there is one oil major coming in with the tick box assessment by government and the environmental assessor who is paid by the oil major. It's a tick box exercise, and I think what the petition has shown up is that there are not just thousands, there are hundreds of thousands of South Africans, not only those that live on the wild coast in traditional ways, but people who are, you know, all shapes and sizes and heritage have come out to object to this. And what's happening in Canada, let's just have a look at that for a minute, because I think it has relevance here, is that in Canada, the issue was around gas pipelines moving over sacred rivers. In South Africa, the gas master plan, the offshore oil and gas Pakisa will dovetail into the gas master plan, government's gas master plan, where there's this kind of too little, too late attitude that gas is going to save us. There, in that gas master plan, is a national gas pipeline that is planned that is 3,500 kilometers long and will traverse our coastline. And presently, only 7 towns in South Africa have undergone any kind of public participation process for this. So, you know, people are going to end up with a gas pipeline in their backyard and they'll be flaring it every 187 kilometers. And people don't know about this either. So the Canadian situation is very much a real situation for us here too, where it is going to be a case of in my backyard. And South Africans need to start becoming aware of this. Read up. You can go to Oceans Not Oil website to have a look at what's going on. Read the newspapers and see what is planned by our government with regard to gas. And we know that gas has massive emission problems.
Especially things like expropriation. Janet Solomon, founder of Oceans Not Oil. Thank you so much for joining us.